second, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those minutes are approved. We have a new chief of staff, Dr. Jennifer Rice. Thank you for coming.
Hello.
Floor is yours.
I don't really have anything particular to report. I kind of thought tonight would be a good chance for me to learn what you guys would like to hear about at these meetings, so that I can be prepared to tell you more. The hospital census, as always, kind of goes up and down. It was low earlier this week, but I think it's had a few more as the week has gone on, and what kinds of things are helpful for you guys that you would like to hear?
I would say just general observations. Mm-hmm. I mean, because most of these reports that we get cover some of the things like census and what's going on in the different departments. And so, what's your general observations? I don't know. It's like in the past, it's been
COVID.
Or reaching subjects, or what are you doing on?
Maybe the current issues with medical staff, morale, staffing. We talked a lot about the compensation model as it evolved and those sorts of things.
Sounds good. Yeah, those are all things I can try to bring. Our meetings this last couple weeks, we've been trying to kind of look ahead. We're going to try to maybe restructure our Monday morning meetings just a little. We still want to kind of, you know, review our patient cases and things like that, but like this next week, we have our trauma meeting with Haley, so she's going to bring her trauma reports for us to look at and review it. And then the week after that, physical therapy is going to actually have the occupational therapist, Caitlin, who's fairly new to us, is going to come and kind of give us a review of some of the things she can do and some new services that she can offer, things that maybe we haven't been aware of with a new person in that role. So that's kind of exciting. And then I'm going to try to kind of have some different, some of the physicians maybe bring interesting cases or things, kind of good learning cases forward, and try to have something we can review every week just for good learning experiences for us. So trying to kind of schedule some of that out. That's kind of the biggest thing I've been trying to work on so far, just to kind of see if we can keep those meetings useful and educational as well.
Do you have any general thoughts on like this construction and how that's been going and how it's impacted your?
I haven't gotten to see much of the new inpatient wing yet. We got to walk through it this fall sometime, early in the fall, so I know things have changed a lot since then. I think probably the most impactful thing for us right now is just the starting on the new wing and the clinic. There's been a few days where it's been pretty noisy, and we've just had to kind of move rooms around a little bit. Dr. Darnell and I are kind of on those outside walls, so there's been some days where we've just had to, you know, there was a day where they were removing a lot of the brick on the exterior, so they put those still posted up against the building, or the other day when they were putting some of those beams up top, you know, it was pretty noisy. We managed to move things around pretty well. So that's been going okay, I think. I know it sounds silly, but one thing I think that's impacted us has just been the access. I know I've never really think that doctor parking was sort of just like a lush parking spot, but we're here a lot in the middle of the night and at weird hours, and it was really convenient to like pop in that door, grab the things we need out of our offices, and then get to the ER or the obstetric or inpatient ward, wherever. And sometimes now it's hard to get in there. And I think we've all figured our ways around that by now, but I actually come into like the admin door a lot of times now or whatever, but it's silly, but that's probably been one of the things that's impacted us a little bit, like at night or a call. We did have a meeting, obstetric docs, Dr. Darnell, Dr. Mullen, and I met with the architects, oh gosh, it might have been close to a month ago. So we got to meet with them looking at the OB rooms a little bit and kind of restructuring some things. There were a few things that they had that were, you know, I'm sure really beautiful, but maybe not super functional. And it was really neat to get to be involved in that process, so we can fix some of that now before it happens. And so we were thankful for that opportunity. Little things like, you know, they had a big tub, but it was at like a 45-degree angle in the corner of a bathroom. So, like, it uses up this enormous amount of space, but isn't really all that useful. And we were like, really, a shower is good. And a tub's nice, too, but we could do a normal one, and then let's move some things around so we have room for campers. And even, like, the monitor, the little cabinet that our monitors sit on, like, they didn't know we had to have that, and that moves everything over 2 or 3 foot in the room, and they needed to know that affected where they were putting cabinets and just things like that. And so that was really good to get to be involved in that. And I think we were hoping to probably meet with them again this next month. And the other part of that is going to be looking at how, when they do work on those rooms, we still have to have access to the nursery, which by then the new nursery should be open. But we have to do some thinking about how we're going to work around that. The other piece of the new construction that's coming up is, I think, February 2nd. We have a day where they're going to have to turn all the gas and the air off to the whole facility. And they did this once a couple years ago when they changed the air handlers. And so, thankfully, we're kind of prepared for that now. But we have to have, you know, bottled oxygen and air and things available for patients on the floor, but also the nursery is actually kind of the bigger challenge because our warmers are, you know, very effective but vintage, and so there's a few fittings and things we need to be able to, you know, hook them to portable air. They're not made for that, so we're just trying to make sure that we're prepared, and that timeline's pretty close.
We're prepared.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Dr. Rice? Thank you. Lori, what can you tell us from the administrative side?
Not much. I don't really have anything to add other than we're going to go over that coffee time later. And I don't know, on those, that quality assurance stuff I gave you, we've got the third quarter of the patient satisfaction stuff in there. That HCAP in there, and it's way better than the other one was.
It's almost entirely green.
I know.
We haven't had before.
How did it happen, Lori?
I don't know, a lot of prayer.
We educated those nurses.
Yeah.
And doctors.
Everybody. Yeah. I just, you know,
we don't know.
You know, it's just one of those things, everybody's opinion, you know, they ask, you know, if you do everything always, and I think people don't realize if you missed it one time, you know, that doesn't give you the always, you know, it's just, it's hard for me to say always about anything, you know, how often you always do something, you just don't, it's just not natural, I mean. Computers don't even do it always. So, how can people? Yeah, they're way better. You know, like usual, the comments are usually all really good. You know, there's always a few things, but I think that they do an amazing job, and I think that getting that score with all the construction going on is amazing.
I'm excited to see what this course will look like after the construction.
So. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, in a year from now, it should be it should be all pretty. Mm-hmm. There isn't going to really be a reason we need to really do something about it. It's really hard now.
Any questions for Lori?
I guess, are there any stats? Any stats that you know, come to mind or are you concerned about?
The stats, you know, the false thing, you know, but then a lot of that has to do with, you know, just things that happen. We don't have a lot of injuries from them, so that's a good thing. You know, and
We've had a really difficult patient for hepatitis.
Oh, yeah. Really nursing home, and then in home health, you know, we have some patients that there's just nothing you're ever going to be able to do anything about because we're not in there all the time, you know, and they choose to sit in their wheelchair and fall asleep and fall out. I mean, it's just beyond your control. You can educate them all you want, but you can't make them do anything. So, and just like the nursing home, it's not like we can tie them in a chair and not let them go.
Not anymore.
Well, Mary, from acute care and nursing, what's in the news?
I don't think I really have anything to add. Our census does ebb and flow, you know, it is what it is. But we have had way more pediatrics this class. 3 months probably with RSV and pneumonia and stuff like that that we've seen for years probably. Dang mask. But that's it. I don't have anything to add. Survivor report. Any questions?
Oh, I did forget to bring up something. They've been doing an escape room for infection control over in the nursing home that has been awesome, where we're making all the employees do it. And so I don't know if you've done an escape room before or not, but you have to realize a clue and solve that clue to get to the next piece, to get a puzzle, and to get 4 pieces of the puzzle to do it. But it was really a lot of fun, and I think most of the people have really enjoyed it.
And it's really a lot of infection control.
Yeah, and learn about infection control while they're doing it.
We interviewed someone who's coming later in the year for respiratory therapy, which was a department we used to staff and then underutilized and phased out. But this is someone who's going to be doing more of an outpatient, but some assistance with inpatient respiratory therapy, and she's not a new trainee, has some experience, I think. What else can you tell us about?
She'll educate the nurses as much as anything, help us learn about non-invasive the BiPAP and CPAP machines and stuff. She's going to really help Julian outpatient with pulmonary rehab. She works in Sheridan now. She's worked in Casper. She lives in KC. Going to work Monday, Thursday, and Friday. And she'll be available to us as needed, but not after hours. But we're super excited to have her. She's
Julie and I talked yesterday, and we have her on the docket to come to med staff.
Yeah.
She's going to start coming to see us probably initially, at least monthly, maybe, to help us with some of the study on her machines, too.
Yeah, her official start date is until May.
She told me May.
May. But she may do a few days here and there just to learn and help us.
Any other questions for Mary? Thank you. Brenda, we had a rather interesting presentation last month. What do you have for us this month?
What I have this month, I believe last week when I wrote the report, we had 32 residents expecting an admission, and we did get that admission. That put us up to 33, kind of where we're capping, until we can replace our travelers with regular staff. And we had a resident pass away today. So, super great guy. Kind of sad that I do anticipate. We're looking at our list of residents, and there do seem to be a lot of them that are just very close to the end of their life, their natural life. Not that they're sick or anything, but I do anticipate in the next month we'll lose a few more, and I believe we still have quite a few on a waiting list, so we will be filling those beds quickly when that happens. And I realize it's long-term care, and most people are going to pass away there. A few will go home, a few will transfer to other places, but that's the process.
Brenda, with those ones that are close to passing, do you guys put them on hospice over there?
Not official hospice, because we do the same cares. We do end-of-life cares.
Okay.
have still kind of like a sort of like a hospice or end of life type order, so we can still place, so they provide it. They felt like they could have full hospice service. So it's kind of overlapping.
We call them comfort measures.
Yeah.
What percentage of our staffing is currently with travelers?
Oh gosh, I bet, I'm guessing like 40%.
Is there a way to deal with the phone? I mean, with this CNA thing? No?
No.
No, just the federal government is going to put in some more regulations to make it harder.
Oh, there you go.
They're working on, CMS is trying to get through a staffing ratio requirement. And it isn't enough if you hire, you know, you hire the premium, hire the high-paid travelers. They're like, oh, you could like get downgraded if you don't have your own staff. And so it's just the typical, we'll punish you until you get better.
What they're going to do is just punish everybody else because they're going to have to close nursing homes or close more wings because they won't have the staffing ratios to meet what they say they have to have, or they're going to fine you. I mean, it's not like it's something you can live with.
I just read 11 nursing homes have closed in Montana. No, I'll come to you next month with an actual percentage instead of off the top of my head.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Brandon? Sorry you're last, Miranda, but
we'll
see you at the clinic.
Sorry you're least, Miranda. The only thing in addition to my report was just something to kind of keep in mind for the next couple months in our numbers. They do start to decline in January and February, pick back up in March, so we're very aware of that. And just kind of all the years past, I looked back at our data. It's pretty common for this to happen. Most people are ending their deductibles at the end of the year. They're trying to get in. They're trained. They've met them. They're getting their appointments in. And then we see this dip January, February, because nobody's really thinking about that. They don't want to restart those deductibles and everything. So kind of the plan to curb that a little bit in the next few years, because this just doesn't happen overnight, is really start our wellness push, our wellness exams to shift people. So our community in the past has, our wellness exams hit in March and April because historically our health fair landed in, our blood drive landed in February, and then our health fair is in March. So people really aren't thinking about their health stuff until springtime, summer, and so forth. So in the next few years, we're going to start shifting people and try to really encourage those wellness exams to take place in January and February at the beginning of the year, just kind of a kickoff to the new year, new you kind of thing. And so I'm working with Ashley with marketing, and hopefully we can start that really big push to see a trend to fix this over the next few years. So we're doing a little bit of wellness stuff right now with Medicare. Medicare annual wellness thing. A lot of providers have adopted that, and we're seeing some number improvement there, but just knowing down the road, this takes a couple of years for the community to kind of understand what we're doing and the shift. So
I got one on this call, so you guys are doing it.
So it's work in progress. But.
Well, this year flu came early. I mean, it's trending downward, so you may even see lower than average figures because that's normally peaking now and it's kind of over.
Yeah, we're still seeing a little COVID, still seeing a lot of sick kids that are ending up in admissions, little kids, babies, things like that that Mary's been seeing in the sponsor department. So it's still there. We're still handling it.
Any new providers or visiting specialists on the agenda in the future?
No, just starting to kind of keep in the back of our minds of when Dr. Carlson comes in and what we've kind of had discussions of kind of reaching out to him, seeing what he wants his schedule to look like, those kinds of things. So planning for October.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Miranda and the clinic operations? Our CEO is dealing with a family situation and was considering calling in tonight, but is, I think, not going to do that. Do you have any items he's asked you to present?
Yes. He didn't have very many, and he did say that he's available to call him if we need to. I told him not to call us. We'd call him if it needed. He is going to email you a report next week when he's back, too, so you'll get his full report. The only things he said, the biggest things on his list is, one, the vet's home. He says they're hoping to start getting residents in to get ready for their survey March 1st.
March 1st is their move-in date for their first wave of residents into their first cottage. And then all of them by the end of May.
Also working with them to get contracts in place to provide medical care. That one has already been taken, well, it's in process. The RFP, we submitted a proposal for therapy, and I got an email and logged in today, and there is an intent to award, and it's to us. So that one is a go-to. And then... Mary, you might be able to help on this one. He said the only other thing is the emergency power supply in the new inpatient wing that has had delays and will hold up taking occupancy, hoping it will be early March for us to get in now. New to you too? This must have just come up. So I'm assuming he'll have more on that in his report, or if you have questions, you can ask him. Yeah, I hadn't heard anything on that one either, so I'm not sure what that one is exactly.
We have a meeting tomorrow at 1 o'clock regarding a bunch of the lines and your
services.
Oh,
yeah, that's the stuff. It was emergency power.
That must have just come up since he left, then, would be my guess. That's all I have from him.
That's home thing. So we received the contract for our providers to go up to the veterans' home and provide care for their skilled cottages that they're going to have. And so we're going to work through and find a couple providers that are going to learn their charting system and that can go up and do rounds. So essentially we'll mirror it similarly to the providers that go over to our nursing home. We'll be able to go up and provide care at their cottages a couple of times a week. We still have to meet the requirements that the care center meets for the 72 hours, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And so Luke is still negotiating the contract set in place, but he's negotiating kind of the cost of when a provider goes up, and those details are still being worked out. But we did receive that. Nobody else in the community did, so that was kind of an honor to get that. He and I went up on Friday to meet with Bruce and start talking about the structure of that and when our providers will go up, whether that's a Monday and a Thursday, and who's going to do that. And so we have a physician meeting coming up next Tuesday when we'll kind of open it up to the providers and see who's interested in going up and providing that care. So.
So they didn't anticipate starting services in March.
March 1st,
one
they had,
cottage.
Yep. March 1st, they had six residents that are going to move in. I do believe it's around six for their first cottage. Their second wave is about 12 residents into their next one. And then Bruce didn't give us like a final number for the final cottage, but he said all three would be open by the end of May.
But I think that's all pending staffing.
Yeah.
Yes. I think at this point it's still been a challenge for them as well.
Do they have enough students to go in there?
It sounds like some of the residents will transition from the current assisted living over to there. There's some that think they'll need more care and will go, but don't know where the rest will come from.
Yeah, some are current vet's home. Some will come from wherever, Montana, Colorado. Some will come in and then stay there as well. So.
And this service contract is completely new. I mean, we've never had it with the existing facility.
Right.
Any questions that can be forwarded to Luke, our CEO? Very well. We have four names who are up for credentialing this month. New appointments for Timothy Miller and Colin Thompson, who are teleradiology services. And then reappointment for Stephen Holst, urology, and Adrian Flucher, cardiology. These have been reviewed by the medical staff, and they've been approved by medical staff. And would entertain a motion for approval of credentialing from the board.
I'll make a motion to approve credentialing tonight.
I'll second. Been moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The appointments are approved. We're now ready to do our financial performance for the month of December. Doing IT sorts of things, I noticed going through the income statement, we're about 60% of what we budgeted for swim bed. That seems like it's a lot lower than it has been.
Mary and I were just talking about this afternoon, trying to figure out what's happening, and we looked and December last year was a pretty busy month, and that's what I would have budgeted off of. I don't really know if we have any other explanations for it.
I don't really either, because December felt fairly busy, but we have really been on a roller coaster for a while. We're at 10, and then we discharge them all the next day, and then we're at 3, and, you know, it's been a roller coaster.
For a time, we were helping neighboring hospitals with swim bed, and that's probably less. Is Sheridan doing?
Well, Sheridan's TTU has, but I don't think they're taking any of our patients, and that's, you know, Jody has mentioned more than once that our referrals have just been down. But I mean, we're getting our patients back, like we get breakfast and what have you.
But I don't know. Challenge.
I wonder if some of that's related to, you think, the construction too. We saw this much room and that.
Maybe, but we haven't even gotten rid of it. So I don't really know. Like, everybody's slow right now. Or maybe people can see it.
That's all right. I didn't know about the paper. They all have what I have, so we can just do it that way.
I don't know.
It worked fine.
We did it.
Yeah, I had it on to make sure.
I can't get the report.
So, yeah, this one is basically what I'm going to go through. So, gross patient revenue in December came in at 2.7 million. We're 281,000 under where that was budgeted. Again, Mary and I looked through it for December. We were looking at year-to-date numbers. Most of it's in inpatient right now, but we really don't have an explanation for what's happened.
Other than last year, we have been deep.
Right. Looking at expenses, we're just slightly over budget, and I dug into those a little bit more, and we can see that on the income statement in a minute. So for December, we actually finished at a $229,000 loss. Year to date, that gross patient revenue is still down from budget. Expenses look better. We're $206,000 favorable to where I budgeted those. Year to date, we are at an $84,000 loss. On the next page, on the stats. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just curious. I mean, normally the deductions kind of follow, you know, some margin with the gross patient revenue, and that's not the case right there. I mean, it seems almost like the deductions are higher than they should be if the revenue is off $1 million year to date.
Yeah, and some of that has to be in that budgeting and how we did that with revenue. Compared to how my deductions are budgeted, because Luke helped me quite a bit on trying to figure out deductions better for budgeting purposes, which was helpful because that number is a lot closer.
Yeah.
I don't completely know what's happening with the revenue. I'm not sure. I know we increased a couple of those departments more than we normally would have because we were anticipating more growth. Some of that's probably not coming out like it should have and like we anticipated it. So I think that's probably part of it on that revenue piece. I just haven't been able to figure out exactly what's happening with
those. I was surprised because you're $1 million off on the year-to-date revenue, but then on your next page, the entire thing is green. Everything's
right.
Green on the services,
yes.
You know?
Stats look really good, which is why I'm thinking that it's more of a budgeting issue on that revenue because of those specific departments that we increased further and it's not panning out completely where we thought. That's the only thing I can think of because deductions look fine, and then when you look at those stats, we haven't seen green like that for quite a while.
But going above that, if you look at the...
At the census.
Yeah, the December census for acute care and swing bed... considerably lower than budget figures.
Yes.
And that's just not quite as much business for the month.
For the last few months, just looking at those revenue numbers, a lot of it has been sitting in inpatient. And those numbers with the swing bed, that's definitely contributing to it. The rest of the stats look great, though. This month looked really good. And year-to-date stats being all green hasn't been like that. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, to be 84,000 in the hole after 6 months when your budget's 20 million, that's not a terrible place to be.
Right. The next one that you don't have. would be my summary sheet where I look at the AR numbers. AR compared to November really hasn't had that much of a change. For December, the hospital decreased by 55,000 and the clinic increased by 18,000, so not much change there at all. The one that did change quite a bit is the days cash on hand. November was 131.3 and December is 114.8, which is exactly what I anticipated that one doing because we had that really big payment that went to Odell. It was just over $1 million. That's reflecting now. So account balances. For December, our big one with the general and money market, that was at 7.3 million, and then as of today, it's at 6.9. Total in December, we finished at 7.9, and January today, we're at 7.4. So our days cash on hand dropped in December, but our cash balances are still recovering right back from operations. So with our conversation with the foundation, we're still functioning just fine as far as construction costs off of operations.
And do we finance 6 or 7 million of the total so far?
We haven't drawn on it yet, have we?
No, are you talking about what we've actually spent?
I think what we've spent so far on the total project was that was the number that I remember running all the construction for this. So with what we financed, we can almost cover the whole project at this point.
Yeah, so far we've spent just over 7 million right now, while in December. Well, maybe I haven't. I don't think we did have another payment to Odell yet in January.
I signed a huge check in January to Odell. Another million, over a million. Just last week.
We appreciate that.
I made that out. I'm like, wow, this is a big one.
That might be the one that I finally,
that,
yeah.
That went through.
No, I was finally able to get the final number. Oh, I'm getting them confused now.
It was a big.
I know I just got a plan one. It wasn't that big, though. So I finally funded the retainage account, and it's probably that one that I funded it off of.
Okay.
And I was thinking it was smaller, probably because the retainage account got $300,000 put into it. That's what's happening. So, yeah, it was
that
big
one. Okay.
So we're going to drop again in January by the time I get that all rolled out.
Yeah.
Well, we need to, don't we? I mean, there's a requirement that you can't have that much cash.
Yeah, we need to drop the days so that we can actually start that borrowing.
Yeah, just can't borrow.
Is that contract settled and done? Did you sign it?
Yeah, it's
okay.
So how many days of cash on hand are you supposed to have? I mean, what are you aiming for?
To avoid the excess borrowing, it's 95 to 100 is where they're going to want to see that. So we still have to drop it by at least 14 days. I think we were talking, Luke is probably aiming for 90 to 95, I believe is where we're going. So we still have a little ways to go.
And that ties into the reimbursement rate, right?
Yeah.
So we have to get that cash back so that we fully recover that depreciation and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of those cost report
items.
All right, well, we missed your projector, but we'll have to add that to the capital budget.
It's going to be fantastic when the construction is finished.
We're going to have the whole projector back.
Yeah, let's get that.
It never fails.
Nope.
It didn't.
All right, our next item, and I've really been eagerly awaiting this one, is the Quality Assurance Performance Improvement Plan.
We have to do it every year.
Every year we have to do this thing.
We need all the lights on.
Yeah. Yeah, there isn't much to eat in the
Well, I thought you'd want to go through this line by line.
Oh, well, you thought wrong.
Well, I noticed there's some new stuff in the back, wasn't it?
What now?
Isn't there some new stuff in there?
Well, we added the corrective action, I think, in there, and quality, deficiency, or opportunity for improvement. I added a couple of things to that, so under the definitions. And there was a couple of grammatic errors that we fixed. I don't remember what they were, but I don't think there's a lot of changes to it.
Well, thank you for dealing with that. Any further discussion on the QAPI plan approval? I suppose to be official, we should make a motion to approve the QAPI plan.
So moved.
Quality improvement.
You should read it all.
Let's start
again. Sorry. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We've approved the plan.
Thank you.
I have Dr. Fiore's signature over here.
Okay. Did you get Luke to sign it? Well, I'll have Luke sign it when he comes.
So our previous meeting, we discussed having the ability to approve capital purchases on an emergency basis without gaining board approval for items not exceeding $50,000 in value, and that proposal for the limited delegated capital purchasing authority was drafted and I think was in the packet, and it basically states just that. The CEO has the authority to authorize purchase for emergency needs up to $50,000 in value, which seems pretty straightforward. I don't have any questions or discussion. Does anyone else? So, like a projector could be one of those.
Well, I told you it's going to get even better than that.
Get a good one. We need to spend down our day's cash on hand. So if there's no further discussion, we'd entertain a motion to approve this purchasing authority.
I make a motion to approve a new policy for the limited delegated capital purchasing policy.
I'll second that.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That plan has been approved. I have no indication on the agenda of the need for an executive session. Hearing none, we can entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved. I'll second.
Those in favor say aye.